This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air?
Yes, hello, good morning.
Yes, hi.
How are you doing today, David?
Fine. I just want to let you all know that there's a flash flood watch in effect for northwestern, western, and central districts of Barbados. And based upon what we've been seeing in recent days, it is something to take seriously because the rain has been coming down in some areas very, very hard and for sustained periods. It's sometimes not island-wide, but sufficiently strong in some areas to be a cause for concern. So we need to be vigilant. Yes, yes. Sir.
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. I can actually see the weather outside. It's actually pretty dark in some areas. I actually wasn't going to call, but then when I heard your caller, two callers before, the other two gentlemen that were speaking about politics regarding homosexuality and if the society decides to go down this road, what happens? I just have to ask a couple of questions to persons who might have that same train of thought. Homosexuality has existed for thousands of years. I mean, thousands of years. The only difference is now is that we, as a society, have become more civilized. And as a more civilized society, we are now more recognizing people's right to exist and right to carry out their existence in their own way, which does not in any way harm the society. So I have a question for all the persons who might have some trepidation about same-sex unions. Who marries you? Does a marriage ceremony have to take place in a church? David?
Just, you asking me?
Who marries you? In other words, you are not married unless the state say you're married. So the church really has nothing to do with this. You don't have to get married in the church to be married. That's one. Two.
But that's why the discussion is not just about being married, it's about same-sex unions.
Yeah, but marriage is a union. It's a legal union sanctioned by the state. And same-sex union is a relationship just like any other. If I'm in a common-law marriage, which is actually against biblical principles, but they exist all around Barbados. A common-law marriage is not a marriage by biblical principles. It is not. But yet they're recognized, and nobody says anything about them. The state is just might just be now recommending that same-sex unions that carry the same characteristics as a common-law marriage be recognized as such. So
we have two camps.
Some persons have trepidations and they like to quote religion. This is a state issue. Consenting adults do is what two consenting.
We have to recognize that we have two strongly opposing positions on this in countries like ours. It is the reason, for instance, I was reading a piece the other day about why some African pastors and stuff are praying for Donald Trump to win the elections in the United States. This particular issue is one of the big items on their agenda, their big fears. So you have, on the one hand, a group of people who strongly believe that this is the wrong thing, that the scriptures don't support it. That's their belief. And on the other, you have people who are expressing the point of view that you do.
The thing about it, David, and this is what some people need to probably start to think about. That you're talking about a belief in a faith that may or may not even be actually exist. We're talking about everyday living and people's lives. And people need to start to divorce the two. We're talking about people's everyday living and people's lives. The thing about it, and this is why a lot of persons who may not lean to the side I may lean to right now might say that the church is hypocritical because this is not the only quote-unquote sin that you should be marching against.
However, they choose to because
this is seen as something major. Really, this is something major. There is much more. However, I'm saying the state is now saying, listen, we want to recognize your same sex. Yes, you are consenting adults in a consenting relationship. We want to recognize you so you don't get disadvantaged. It is the reason why the state started to sanction marriage because marriage was never sanctioned by the state before. You understand?
But the state's view is clashing with people's belief system.
Huh? But it is fine. It is a lot of the things the state state do clashes with people's belief system, and thank God for that.
Well, the fact of the matter that is, in this case, whether you believe it or you agree with the state or not.
This is not a belief. This is just me kind of dishing out some common sense. In other words, if we did not...
Both sides of you work too hard to try to change the mind of the other person. That's what's happened.
I'm not trying to change the mind. I'm just trying to put this argument that if the state was not in control of several things happened to our lives, and then we had leaned towards the religious part of our society, we would be in chaos.
Well, there are a lot of people who tell you today that the reason why we are now grappling with crime in the way that we are is because we've moved too far away from the other side as well. The state has taken us too far on the other side. That's the view of other people.
Do you know that there is a section for morals and a section for religious morals? You know this. Religious morals can be a bit extreme. Do you know that back in the day that the slave master used the same Bible, he used to go to church and come home and beat his slaves? And for him, because this seemed okay, and he was religious the same way, and he believed in God the same way, but he had slaves that he used to beat
the I really genuinely believe that you and I have to have respect for the fact that there are people who do not see life the way that we do.
Yes, I do respect this. I do respect the fact, but the problem is that you cannot live in a society and be so close-minded because things evolve. We have evolved as
but you
we got, evolve as human beings.
I mean, who says
you're going to evolve to a point?
Well, who says you cannot?
Yes,
because people do.
Yes, so yes.
And the issue here is how many votes are involved in influencing what will happen. That's what we come down to.
Unfortunately, we come down to that extremely simplistic base, and it is more complicated than that. You see, the thing about it, remember, in every society, there are going to be opposing views. But you know, there are some views that you just don't oppose, because you might have a view, and your view would actually damage society more than help it. And you might say...
And both sides feel that way. Sides feel that way.
Right. So back in slavery times, there was a small amount of people that would say that they should free the slaves, but a majority say we should keep the slaves.
It's still slavery, don't forget. As somebody said the other day, that right now there's slavery in Libya, nobody ain't talking. There's still slavery. There's slavery in Morocco.
Right, but I'm talking about the legal basis on which slavery existed. It existed in a society for 400 years, and people thought there was nothing wrong with it. It was fine. We should enslave these black people because we're better than them. We need them to run our economy. And then afterward, we realize, you know what? This isn't right. This is wrong.
It's an interesting dilemma. And the politics of it all, it will be very interesting to see how this plays out. Because one thing is sure, the evangelicals in particular are launching a spirited effort to say to the government that they are opposed to this, and we wait to see how the administration deals with it. And you know, I already said here on the program that I find that the administration got too many balls up in the air at one time, and that when you try to create disequilibrium on so many different fronts, it is very difficult to contain it. So I wait to see what is going to come of all of this, because you can look at, we got COVID to deal with, the unemployment situation that everybody's talking about. Then you have this issue with same sex now thrown into the mix. You got a referendum thrown into the mix. You got by election in the mix. It's like somebody is super somebody. You know, there's a government that all roads lead to one person. Everybody in Barbados knows that. I don't know how this one person can be able to deal with all of these balls at one time. It's too much disequilibrium all at the same time. That's only my judgment, but we'll see. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm good. Good. I want to ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Please.
Good. When it comes to the same sex union, which side of the fence do you stand?
Me? At the end of the day, I I believe I'm a liberal, and I can appreciate the fact that in this country we have been tolerant of people who were of a different persuasion from the time I was a child. I do not see all the dangers that others do. However, I am on the side of how it is being introduced. I've expressed my concern about how this is being done, because I know that on previous occasions when the subject was raised, the people of Barbados were told there was going to be a referendum, because it was well recognized that there had to be some sensitivity to this matter. So while I am not in the camp of those who are so scared and think that the sky is falling and that sort of thing, I am concerned about the method, the way it is being done, because we have to be sensitive to the fact that there are these two camps. There are those who are strongly for, there are those who are strongly against. That's my position.
Okay, thank you for that. Your caller before, your caller before, he was talking about marriage and who sanctioned marriage and what's not. You know, marriage was introduced to mankind by God. You know, he's the one who actually set it up. He's the one who patterned it. And you'll find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the last verse in chapter 2, where he said, both of them were naked, and the man and his wife. Now, the pattern that God has set in place is a male and a female. That's why the female always carries the egg. The male always carries the sperm. Sperm always go after an egg. It's designed that way. It will not go after anything else but an egg.
But everybody don't want children?
No, I'm just telling you how our bodies were created. There's a design that I'm talking about, that God created, a way that God created us, a design to procreate. Even if you do not want children,
What does that have to do with the trend that we are seeing and the fact that there are people who are expressing their love for each other, though they are of the same sex, to the point where even some people who are within the church are actually of that persuasion as well? How do we deal with that, recognizing those changes within not just Barbados, but these changes in the world around us?
I will acknowledge that there are individuals in churches who might be leaning towards that side. But the truth is that everyone in the hospital have a different issue, right? So the church is a spiritual hospital, and you're going to find people within the church with different issues. Now, and that is the role of the leaders of the church, is to make sure you take care of those individuals and guide them in the way that is suitable for our Creator. Now, you were discussing about the deterioration of the society pertaining to persons being involved in this way of life. And I see it as an attack on the family, where, as we go back to the pattern, how we used to be a male, female, and children. Now we are seeing, people are using this word about evolve, right? But the evolution that I'm seeing, just the evolution that our evolutionists, is leading to destruction. Now,
what's that destruction?
I'm seeing families right now.
Barbados had a record number of murders last year. Barbados has had quite a number of murders so far this year. You could trace any of that to homosexuality.
No, but we can take steps, right? We're not going to jump ahead of anything. We're taking steps. We don't want to trip and fall. So what I'm saying to you is that it's an attack on the family. Now, we know that everything starts in the family. A strong society depends on each family. Agree?
I just think that, it's fascinating to hear this strong emphasis that you and others may place on the family in that regard. I think we are seeing some trends in this country that require the same degree of effort behind family life and stuff like that, and support for families in this country. And we're not getting that. Let me just make the point. I don't see that kind of spirited determination coming behind those things, you know. This particular issue will evoke such strong expressions that are pro-family, may be surprising to many of us.
Well, I would say that because, honestly, being in that church pretty often, you know, you listen to sermons and the preacher, he's teaching of the same things that your issue. We know we teach against murder, against backbiting, all those little things that you might think that as nothing. Right, so the church is preaching against those things that you're talking about. But as the scripture also said, this is one of the most unnatural activity a human being could ever be involved in. Totally unnatural. So for those individuals who might not want to bring in religion or the scriptures, it is totally unnatural.
All right. Where are you going to go? Look, because basically this is not really... It isn't really necessary for us to be reciting all that we are hearing here. We mean, we've been through this subject time and time again. We hear it all the time. The issue here is, where are you going to go with your strong views on this? How far are you prepared to go to send a message to the political leadership that you don't agree with what they're doing? Were you out marching? What have you been doing in your campaign?
Well, I preach from my own pulpit. What I'd like to add, though, is that I think the church is here to help protect this island. The day that we stop talking and the day the country is allowed to do what they want, then you're going to see the end result similar to Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't mind adding that, because I believe that God still judges nations.
Fair enough. But let me ask you this question. Share with me, therefore, how are you dealing with this message in your church? How often do you come back to this particular issue as you try to lead your flock?
Well, obviously, the individuals that are around me, they're, this thing might come up in a discussion, in a Bible study, or what's not, right? It doesn't mean that this is something that's going to be brought up 24/7. Right, because there are other things, as I mentioned before.
Has it been coming up more recently?
So, you know, and obviously the Christian community is a community. So you're not just having conversation with a person in your circle, but you'll have person discussion with people from other churches or other denominations. So the Christian, we are all one, right? And this is something that we need to band together because we're protecting this little nation.
How much concern are you hearing among other Christians about it?
I think. Honestly, it's a big thing right now.
It
and
is?
It's not that. It is a big thing within the community.
Are you getting arguments within the community that are for it?
No, because I would jump on the line and say that 99.9% of Christians don't stand for it. And if you are an individual that practice that way of life, I would have to question where you stand in Christ. Right? Now, I'm not saying that a person who is a Christian, because we have to understand that if a person comes from the world, or we call the world, and get saved, they're going to have issues that they're dealing with, and it's not going to drop off at the same time. Right? So it's possible for a person to be a Christian and dealing with the homosexuality feelings. But if you are an individual who practices this lifestyle and see nothing wrong with it, I will have to question where you stand as a believer.
Yeah, but you know, you could question where anybody stands as a believer. That's up to you. That person must determine for themselves how comfortable they are with wherever they stand. That's not, they're not here to please you. They're basically, you know, that's not about, so that's how people will look at it. But what I want to repeat on this matter, it is something that has deeply held views on more than one side. Therefore, when we sit down here to discuss this, one has to recognize that you are going to get it from both ends of the spectrum. And you got to say to people, look, whether I agree with you or not, your view is heard. I'm curious to find out how much momentum this is getting within the Barbadian society at the moment. And therefore, that's why I ask you, as a church-going person and somebody who is leading a flock, I wanted you to share with me what exactly is happening in your area. And where do you see the church being able to take this? What's the next step as far as you're concerned?
Now, for me to tell you next step, I believe next step will be directed by God himself, right? And I believe there, the community is planned to take it as far as it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a good thing, right? Because I didn't mention before, Christians are not here to attack anyone or to condemn anyone, but you're here to guide persons to truth.
Why you all don't take more of a stand in the society, in the communities, when it comes to the crimes that the gunplay and stuff, that taking lives, that's actually taking lives. But I don't see that kind of deep interest, that same kind of vigor in trying to penetrate the society in that regard. In other words, one is talking about moral decay. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately, you look at moral decay and how it translates into how we treat each other. This matter of crime and robberies and that sort of thing, and the fear of crime in Barbados, I don't know who's going to do the next survey, but from where I sit, it comes across as though it is strong right now. To me, that is posing more of a danger to our society than the same-sex issue in Barbados.
See, okay, where there's an issue, you know, I mean, honestly, churches do get out there in the open air, and they do go out there and we talk to, we go on the blocks and we talk to individuals. So it's not like the church is not doing anything. You don't always need to see hundreds of persons coming out and doing. I mean, you don't want to see that every week, honestly. But let me tell you that the churches are out there and they are preaching and they are teaching. We are doing that, right? So don't assume that we are not doing it because.
Well, it is not as visible with the naked eye.
Well, everything, I mean, you cannot see an atom, your eye, but it's working, right?
All right. So, thanks for calling. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Miss Alice.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
There's also a fair improvement, but I'm okay, thanks. I want to make two inputs today. I want to speak about Paul... It's in Jordan North election, and I want to speak about.
You must be one of the few people who call this program who want to talk about that. I was just observing that and sitting down here doing this program over the last 2 weeks or so. It is interesting to see that by election really has not resonated with this program in any significant way. I don't know if it's because we are not talking the politics, the parochial politics of the by-election, or because we're not here to canvass for one candidate or the other. But I would have thought that there would still be some national issues that have been raised that would have come back here. They're not strong at all. I don't know. Yeah. This by-election is an interesting one, and I wait to see by the end of it where it will go.
What do you find so interesting?
Because I get this sense that there are a lot of people that don't resonate with them. Outside of St. George North, outside of, in other parts of the country, I'm not getting that feel for it. I mean, I may be wrong. You could tell me if you're picking up something that you know suggests that people are really excited about it. Are they?
Yes, they are, you know. You see, what's happened is the new mode of campaigning and thing, mm-hmm. a lot of persons are staying away, so you can't really gauge by the crowd, although certain meetings you can still
so
see.
So what is driving the excitement in the campaign that you've picked up?
All right. A lot of people are streaming the meetings, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement is there's this contentious thing about a trade unionist going to run for politics, et cetera, that old discussion and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the
so why would that generate all this excitement?
It's amazing because for years they would have had persons in the trade union and they were in politics and we can highlight a number of names. So I don't see this as so unique and extraordinary as it is. But let's go to the actual St. George North situation. The two candidates there, well, let me word this here properly. The two major parties would be the Barbados Labour Party and the DLP, who is now in a sort of political dilemma, etc. But the other French parties, they wouldn't really cause any impact at all in this election because personally, I'm going to pay those French parties much. But, I mean, they're in their right to contest and whatever. The thing is that persons are of the view we get from the ground is that the opposition, sorry, the leader of the Labour Party.
I asked you basically whether you are detecting that this election is causing excitement outside of St. George North, and you told me yes.
Uh-huh.
You said to me the reason why it is generating this kind of excitement, as far as you're concerned, is mm-hmm. because you have a trade unionist in the mix.
Right, but the other side is. But no, before I go on, all right. Let me word it how I want to word it. The cricketer, Mr. Reefer, there is that discussion as to how effective he can be as a candidate and not going on the popularity as being a cricketer. They think that it will take
we can,
more.
We'll discuss that in more detail another time because essentially I don't want to get into the merits and demerits of any one candidate over another. Because I need to balance that. To balance that, you also have the concerns which have been raised about Toni Moore in her role as a trade unionist, now having thrown her hat into the political arena in a mm-hmm. direct way. So you got both, you know, those types of arguments.
I understand.
About
supporting one or the other. Or let me give you this one, though. This is something that is national. Now, I've heard this over time since the last general election. Now, there's this big discussion about the traditional opposition. Now, if in truth and in fact those French parties can't get any real traction, then it will be left to in the general election if the BLP or the DLP. And my concern and what I'm hearing on the ground is that the DLP wouldn't stand the chance in talking about getting back to be the traditional opposition. Now, if you don't have the French party, this is the important question that I want to ask. If the French parties can't come to fruition, the Democratic Party isn't in the vying and isn't much, what is going to happen as the traditional opposition as we're accustomed to having it? Because they have been so displaced and justifiably so. So what will happen going forward? People are expecting, will you ever get back that traditional, buoyant opposition as we had known it?
You can't really be raising that question in the context of this by-election. That question becomes relevant in a general election.
I said that's what the next general election. Overall, I say that I left that by-election and gone to the general.
In my judgment, it is still too far away for us to be getting caught up in that kind of debate and discussion and fear.
Let me make my second point. No, I've been on this for some time, and Saturday, God is good to all of us. Now, you hear me Before, let me preface it with this. They say in the news today, $200 million would be news for the Scotland districts, and I'm hearing about millions down the Highway 1 highway, and the infrastructure is necessary. The development is quite necessary. I'm not touching that in any way at all, any form. All I'm trying to say is this one, and I've been saying this for some time now, Saturday, a truck came down through this cut rock in Orchard I often talk about, and there's a guy in this district by the name of Yank. He was straight up to the wall, his hands passed straight out with Jesus on the cross. I was just hoping, I don't know, he must have probably read himself, because the truck there alongside him to the wall, and two cars coming up. Now, the truck was traveling, coming through the cut rock. I don't know how he get before getting squeezed to the rock. But, as I said, God is good to all of us. Now, this is so serious. If something more serious
happens. It's already, and I believe we were in a forum there. The minister.
I've been raising for years.
The minister.
But supposedly it happens, Saturday,
but the government says they're trying to deal with the thing, that it's a matter that's been a problem for quite some time, and they know they're doing their best to see if they can sort that out. I think it is well recognized that it's a dangerous thing.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I cringe when I see him there, so like that. I say, well, thank God, boy, you don't get squeezed there, because you know what would have happened. And there's a steel sticking up down the road from the same. The contract's from 1998. Until now. I would like the minister to just pull the file and ask, what happened? This can't come to closure. Bring the file to me. Let me see what's happening with this contract. It has to be closed.
All right. Thank you very much. There is a big problem, they say, in Belgium. They say that the number of coronavirus cases in Belgium is spreading quite rapidly. It says Belgium could soon be overwhelmed by new coronavirus infections, and this warning is coming from that country's health minister. He said new cases were close to what he called a tsunami, where authorities no longer control what is happening. New measures to halt the spread came into force today. All bars and restaurants are closed in Belgium for 4 weeks. Down to brass tacks, hello? You're on the
Hello?
Air. Yes, hi.
You're there?
Yes. Good morning.
If I was Mr. You listen to, you hear me?
Yes.
Oh.
If you were who? You were saying, if you were who, what would you do?
I'm speaking about the cricketer that ran into the St. George North.
Mm-hmm.
If I was him, I would tell
him that. I think in all fairness, Mr. Bradshaw has had quite a lot of lashes for the comment that was made. He has issued a statement. Some people say it isn't exactly an apology, but he's issued a statement, which is a significant move in the context of Barbadian politics, because over the years, many things have been said on political platforms and you didn't get that kind of immediate reaction. But the difference is social media and the extent to which something that is said tonight will be in circulation tonight as well, and widely so. So I don't know that it is useful for us to go back to where you want to take us.
But why he went there, why he went checking the law?
Well, I watched his speech. I watched his speech. And that was one of those comments that you make in the heat of the moment. It is it's not the kind of statement that you should make, generally speaking. And in today's world, you can't make them statements and get away with them. But it would be political fodder for your opponent once you made that kind of statement. But the speech was a lot more than that. But he fell victim to making that particular statement, and then that became the center of it all.
Why bring back him though to speak on a political?
Well, but if you wanted to put that in context, then you perhaps would go on YouTube or wherever. Go to YouTube. That's where the speeches are. And see the context in which he was talking. I mean, I think what they did in his case, and he revealed in that speech that he and Tony Moore are related, and that Tony Moore has relatives in that constituency. So that's the link. That was the whole objective, I thought, for putting him there, to establish that link in circumstances where people are saying she is not from the constituency, and they are comparing and contrasting that with other candidates. Okay? So that's as much as I can say on it. But he's taken a lot of blows. And, I mean, at this stage of the game, and this is politics, huh? At this stage of the game, at 79 years of age, you would think that people would want to stay clear of that kind of stuff. But wanting, I have to concede, if you got the courage to get up on a political platform at any age and talk your talk, then you got to suffer the consequences right. of it all. And that's why you got to take the licks.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Right.
You know.
All right. Thank but, you, man.
All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
I'm still on the topic. As you said. Picture this.
Mm-hmm.
How the same people that want to practice the same sex, how did they got here by the same sex?
You have to go out here by the same sex?
Yes.
But obviously not.
Right. That logically. And who's the head of the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope?
And? What's wrong with that?
Does he have a wife or?
You know, the Pope don't get married.
Right. So, just go by your son, that was standing, this word is.
All right, sir. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. I think you're listening to the radio, and that's why you're getting feedback.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
You're shocked at what?
I mean, so quick.
I want you to shock me today.
I have to thank.
I want you to shock me today, though.
I hope that the gentleman...
By behaving yourself.
Yeah, the gentleman... What's the gentleman's name that is answering the phone? What's his name?
Mr. Stout.
What does Mr. Stout? Sounds strange. Thanks, Mr. Stout. Miss Ellis.
Make wise use of your time.
Good morning.
Good morning, as you call it.
Now, I call about three issues if you would give me time to put them over. I don't know if you would give me the time.
Depends.
And the first one is this. Miss Ellis, where you at the last couple of months with this special style you got a moderator? You went somewhere and practice and train?
I thought that was a rhetorical question, so proceed.
No, I mean, the David Ellis that I know, that I knew. Right now we have a different David Ellis. So I wonder if you went and get special training or you just sit at night and meditate and plan what you're doing.
I like that one.
Oh, I hear that.
I like the meditation.
Oh, you like the meditation one? Because let me tell you,
I just when I meditate, all I do is holler Alvin, Alvin, Alvin all the time. That's my mantra.
Okay, if it was a little younger, I'll tell you to name your next son Alvin. But I think you might be finished with that.
I think that my feeling is that I would be so afraid to name any child or anything after Alvin, after the kind of trouble that you give on this program.
Okay, I will say that and let me explain to you this here. I hear you this morning, a gentleman just called.
Mm-hmm.
And you say to the gentleman, the St. George election is low-key because, you know, you ain't getting the feeling of it. And what when I hear that, you know what he's doing? You mean the gentleman that is part of the low-key of it is running away low-key? Brastas is the number one political program in Barbados.
So you want me to campaign for St. George North in here to make it?
I want you to forget the new training you get and go back to the old system.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because I'm telling you this here. When I say that, I say this.
Oh Here we go again.
I remember.
Listen, Alvin.
Members of the
Alvin, Alvin, Alvin. Please, don't go out there. But let's deal. Not, you listen. The last time,
going, Mr. Ellis?
The last time we spoke, you came here talking about what used to happen and how different it is from what's happening now and stuff. Look, you're wasting people's time with
not
that.
Not wasting time. You
if you're not prepared to advance the discussion to your next topic, then we could as well call it a day. Because I am not going there with you. You have to bear in mind that this program is not about Alvin alone. It is the people who listen to these programs that we are here to serve. And what they want is important. It is not just that you want to massage an ego or whatever it is you want to do. Talk to me about the next topic and let's move.
Can I speak, Mr. Ellis?
Well, let me hear what you say, because as I told you, if you're going back in the past...
But that is not the past.
We are not going to do that.
Going on. Mr. We talk about St. George by election.
Well, let me hear what you're saying. I can give you a chance.
You're saying it's low key.
And?
And I'm giving the reason why it ain't low key. That's the past.
No. You want to go back as you did last week.
What do you want to say? Tell me you're my reader now.
I can read your mind, though. I hear you often enough to know what you're going to say.
Okay, Mr. Ellis, let me say this to you now. Roll. I heard Roll just now. From the time the election finished, Roll met about to recall. Roll was a Dem just like me, even a more popular Dem than me. Right? And I remember hearing Roll. Now, I just say Roll on the air. And I would have liked if he just sit back and say, look, man, I made a mistake here. It looked like the DLP base getting back strong. And it getting back strong with someone that just joined. If you listen to even the platforms, some of these people only got 18 months in the party. You know that, Ms. Ellis?
You mean on both sides?
I'm talking about the DLP. Wall was giving the impression, tall boys, statsman, etc., that the DLP is in the dungeon. Nobody will want to join that party now. How long are we for joining the party, Mr. What? Mr. Thing?
You know, the proof of the pie is in the eating. I think that. I can only gauge what's happening in St. George at the end of this process, depending upon how many seats, how many votes people get.
So in other words, now Brass Stats is only discussing political elections after the election finish. That's what you're telling me, Ms. Ellis?
I told you what the position is before.
So. No, I want to know, because I asking you over and over.
I don't need to repeat what I told you before.
Okay, well, let me tell you this then now. The Stats man, this morning he was on another station. And as usual, he's thought so much foolishness. I wonder if he'd be reading it. Because nobody could. The staff man is giving the impression they dare to never do nothing yet. And he said, and then if they do anything, they only do it in the constituencies that they got a candidate. And I would like to ask the staff man to place the party on these couple of things. National insurance. School needs, independence, the polytechnic, the community college, the university, the West Indies. I could go on and go on, but especially now the last, as they said, 10 years, the Democratic Labour Party built 4 highways, buildings to house people. They didn't do nothing. They built 4. County towers, Kachua towers, with themselves, and the water. And those 4 buildings that the DLP built in the so-called 10 years that nothing was done, I understand occupy. And I hope the people are paying the rent. But the staff man will never let Barbados know that the Barbados Labour Party built a building in Warrings. One building. That costs more than any $4 billion put together. You know that too, Miss Ellis? And that $1 billion a warring, the last cost I hear was $150 million it cost, including lawyer fees. And you know the taxpayers renting it right now? But these BLP people, they're so one-sided and I would say stupid. You got $4 billion that occupy. And let me tell you, they got another one too, because that's the man always talking about it. There's one that blunts his sanitation, that this government's going to leave electricity go to. Then Natasha, and then I hear these fellas, when the government changed, we had an unfinished highway. The last government finished it. The court was unfinished. The last government finished it. The prison was about to, it was close. The government finished. Everything that BLP left, the Democrat Labour Party
finished the prison?
Yeah, the prison ain't complete. It was not far from finished. But you check the Barbados Labour Party now. When the government left in 94, St. Joseph Hospital had patients in there. When they come back, the house watches.
You're into history.
David Thompson Polyclinic.
You're into history.
It had trees growing out of it. Behind Saloy Erskine Stanley First Center, we had to put
no, the that. Truth of the matter is that when you look at projects over the years, a person from the Labour Party could sit down and look at unfinished DLP projects too. You know, I can't tell you them offhand. But as long as you have had enough time to sit down and think it through and plan it and that sort of thing. So it works. All I'm saying to you is that argument can be used on both sides of the political fence.
No, Miss Ellis.
That there was unfinished business, all right?
Name a building or a project that the Barbados Labour Party left.
No,
that the incoming government, which was the Democrat, leave unfinished. Name anything.
No, I wasn't saying that we're leaving them unfinished. I'm saying to you that there are projects that one administration or the other has come and found that the other one started and had to finish. Some of them were left undone.
But I'm speaking not about you, Mr. Ellison. I'm speaking about what the statsman said on another station this morning.
Well, you and statsman could talk about that. Yeah. You don't understand how you and statsman could be arguing about something that you heard on CBC and come and argue on Voice of Barbados.
He's listening and he can call in soon. I want him to name.
You're such a determined man, they tell you. Jeez, you are so determined.
I want him to name a project.
Wow.
That the Barbados Labour Party started. And when the government changed the Democrat, it finished it. Name one. When he come on later to you, let him name a project that the Barbados Labour Party started, like the sanitation building up there in St. Thomas, that this government has spent the whole 5 years and got trees going out there just now. And that is the Barbados Labour Party. So I want him...
I did not remember at all this thing about the prison being incomplete. If somebody points out here, the prison was completely built and opened in September of 2007. And you hear misleading people.
I am telling you.
I don't remember the prison being incomplete.
Because don't forget,
the whole issue with the prison was that the old prison had been burnt down. People had to be kept down in St. Lucie and that sort of thing. And therefore, in a relatively short period, you know, you had to get a new prison. Anyhow, Alvin, let's move on. Thank you very much. You have a good day.